Egypt. We welcome him and we ask God to bless his service for many years. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today's gospel is from the gospel according to St. John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. And in it we read and hear about the famous miracle of the wedding of Cana of Galilee, where the Lord converted water into wine. And again, as a reminder, any time we see our Lord in his ministry and one of his miracles, we learn something from him, something about his mission for mankind. And today we see in a very unique way the Lord Jesus Christ as the bridegroom, as testified by St. John the Baptist. And St. John Chrysostom, when he was commenting on this passage from St. John's Gospel, he said that the wedding is a marriage, a spiritual marriage between the human spirit or the human race and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race. A sacramental, a mystical, a mysterious marriage. How does this take place? St. Paul said to us, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart. Into where? Your heart. So the heart then becomes the bridal chamber for me and God. Our heart, the dwelling place where God dwells. It's the place where we receive Christ as the bridegroom for us. And when did all of this happen? The first few words of this gospel, it said on the third day. What does it mean, on the third day? Well, if you read a little bit before it, you'll see that the first day was the divine theophany, the baptism of the Lord. The second day, he began to recruit his disciples. He began to pick his disciples and call them. And then the third day was the wedding. So if you think of it in a symbolic way, the first step in a relationship with Christ is that he took the first step and revealed himself. Just like we say in the Feast of the Theophany, it is the revelation of the Holy Trinity. He is the Hur of the Holy Trinity, of God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So he declared himself to us, to you. Then the second day, he called. He called. And then the third day was the wedding, was the union. And we all know what happened on the third day. What happened on the third day? Another famous third day. He rose, what? From the dead. The resurrection. So you see, this spiritual wedding, okay, it's not just a miracle about changing the water into wine and all of those other meanings that it could have, which are good and valid. Today, we want to talk about the spiritual wedding that is between you and Christ, between a believer and his God. And we see in the third day, the resurrection, that the Lord recaptured humanity for himself. He recaptured humanity out of the hands of the devil, out of the bondage of the sin. Just like a bride is taken out of her father's home, and not to return again, but to stay with her husband. So today's feast is a feast in which we celebrate a marriage between us and the Lord in our hearts, which is the bridal chamber. And as the bridegroom, our Lord Jesus Christ does not want us to return back to our past, to our evil. St. Paul very clearly speaks about this in 2 Corinthians 11:2. He says, "For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." So he was saying this to the Corinthians, "I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgins to Christ. How beautiful are these words. Think of how wonderful these words are. And just like any husband would care and be jealous over his wife, the Lord also is jealous over each and every one of us, for every soul. And if you read in the Old Testament, you'll notice a lot of the times the Lord described the relationship between Him and the children of Israel as a marriage. And even when the children of Israel left the Lord for other gods, gods made of stone and so forth, He accused them of adultery. He accused all of Israel for adultery. Which means God sees His relationship with us as a mystical and spiritual and divine wedding, a contract between you and God, between God and you. And He desires this with all of His heart. Today, we are invited to a wedding in the pages of the Gospel. We are invited to a wedding where the Lord changes the tasteless water into the best wine. And St. John Chrysostom, he says that the water represents the Old Testament. Tasteless, okay? And when it was transferred into wine, it represented the New Testament. Meaning that the scriptures of the Old Testament had no meaning or were meaningless without, unless Christ is understood in them. How many jars were there? How many jars? 6 jars. And St. John Chrysostom, he took each jar when he was talking about this passage, and he said that each jar represented a space and time where the Lord, from the beginning, from Adam and Eve, revealed Himself as the bridegroom, as our spouse. And the first one, we're just going to maybe do a few of them. And He says, just as Adam sleeps, that Eve may be formed. Okay, remember? The Lord God caused Adam to what? Fall asleep so that He could take what? The rib out of his side to create Eve. So He says, the first way that the Lord presented Himself as the bridegroom, as expressing His love for mankind by giving them His image and likeness, and then He said, just as Adam sleeps that Eve may be formed, so Christ sleeps the sleep of death in the grave, that the church may be formed. Just as Adam's side produced Eve, so also the side of Christ that is pierced, which shed His pure blood, out of His side came the church, His sacrifice for His spouse, for His bride, the church. Also, in the time of Noah, St. John Chrysostom says that he was a bridegroom in the time of Noah when he saved all of the human race through, represented by Noah and his family, and the animals representing all of creation. So he said, just as he saved all those people by the wood of the ark, by the wood of His holy cross, He has proven once again to be the true bridegroom by saving all of humanity by the wood of His cross. What were the jars made of? What were the jars made of? Stone. Okay? And so St. John Chrysostom, he connects that to the vision that Daniel had, Daniel the prophet. He had a vision, Daniel the prophet. And in his vision, he saw a stone cut from a mountain without hands. So it wasn't cut by humans. And this stone then came from the mountain and broke all of the kingdoms of the earth. Remember what Christ said about his kingdom? My kingdom is, not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. So if this stone in the book of Daniel and in his prophecy is or represents the kingdom of Christ, then he has destroyed all the kingdoms of what? The earth, which are the kingdom of the devil, which is the kingdom of the devil. And then this stone, okay, he saw in his vision that the stone grew and became a great mountain on the face, and it covered the face of the entire earth, which means he's extending salvation to all those who would believe and be part of his church that he has founded. It was cut without hands. Okay? Cut without hands. Meaning, no human effort or involvement in it. Just as Christ was, as St. John Chrysostom says, and we all know, was born without a husband's embrace. Or, as we say in the Tazbeha, the seed of man. A stone made without hands. So, all of these things, we see how the Lord, from the beginning of time, has tried to always renew His contract, His union, His mystical contract between us, His spouse, the church, and Him, the bridegroom. What is our reaction to this today? What is our reaction to this invitation that we are all invited to the wedding at Cana of Galilee? Our reaction should be awe, just like the psalm said. You are the God who does wonders. You are the God who does wonders. How awesome and filled with awe is this great invitation for us, that our Lord desires each one of us to be His spouse, each one of us to be married to Him, to be connected to Him in an everlasting union. How great is it? We should say, blessed are You, O God, for You think of us, the dust of the earth, and You wish to be united with us. He is the bridegroom who wishes to be your companion, who wishes to be your friend, who wishes to be your spouse, the one who is with you for the rest of your life and your eternal life. How can I do this? The answer is in this gospel as well. How can I accept this invitation? Well, St. Mary, the Mother of God, the Holy Theotokos, she never really spoke much. Right? She never really spoke much. She kept all the sayings of the angel, what? In her heart. But she spoke today. And she said, do whatever He says. Do whatever He says. And she is the most appropriate one to say this. Because when the angel of the Lord came to her and said, you will be with child, and all of the things that go and follow with it, she said what? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me, according to your word. According to your word. So she, without hypocrisy, is saying, do whatever He says. How can I accept this union with Christ, my Savior? The ring that He wishes to put on my finger, the contract between us, His church, His spouse, and Him. How? I must obey. I must take heed and listen to what He's saying to us. I must accept the invitation. I must accept through my obedience to Him. And what all is said and done, after all is said and done, if we accept this invitation, if we decide to be the bride of Christ, His holy church without blemish, struggling against our sins, we won't say sinless, because no one is sinless, but we struggle against the sin, and we become betrothed and married to our Lord in a divine, a mystical, and spiritual way, then the benefits are beyond our understanding. What did St. Paul say? I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have come upon the heart of man, the things which you, O God, have prepared for them that what? Love you. That have prepared for them that love you. Today, it's the feast of the wedding of Cana of Galilee. It's the feast where the Lord is asking each one of us, take the ring that I want to give you and be my spouse. Come be with me, for I love you. I've given my life for you. The question then remains, what are we doing for the Lord? What are we? What is our reaction to this invitation? Some of us, we take the ring and we throw it away. Some of us take the ring and we bury it. We hide it for a while. Until I become a Teta or a Gitu, then I'll take the ring out and be married to you. And some eagerly wait for the ring, like today's saint, Saint Damiana. From her childhood, when she was only 15 years old, she said to herself in her heart, I have made God my spouse, and no earthly man will be my husband. Think back when you were 15, if you're older than 15. Think back when you were 15. What were your thoughts when you were 15 years old? Was it to be wedded to the Lord, to accept His ring, to be His spouse? Or was it something else? See how, if we start with our children when they're young, notice what Mark, St. Damiana's father, did when she was how many years old, it said? 1 year old. He brought her to the church. He gave alms. He put money in. He lit candles. He stood and he prayed that God may bless his child. And he did. How many of us take that ring and throw it away? Let us be like the Mother of God in her example and do whatever He says and accept this invitation, this great invitation to this feast all the days of our life. And glory be to God forever. Amen.